Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hi, I'm Andrea McLean.
And I'm Nick Feeney.
And between us, we've had five weddings.
Four children.
Three divorces.
And two dogs.
Richer, poorer, in sickness and in health, in work and play, through menopause meltdowns.
And teenage tantrums.
It is love, laughter, friendship.
And coffee.
That has got us through. Also Netflix.
Definitely Netflix.
Also, other streaming services are available. All these things help us to crash through midlife. But what we're actually attempting to do is...
master midlife. Now, we are not experts by any means, and we have our own challenges. And this is why we're doing this podcast for free therapy. And we're working out our challenges ourselves, but also now and then we have some guests in and experts to help us. But today...
It's just us. Hi! I've just caught sight of myself just before we, you know, pressed record on all of this. And I realize I unintentionally look like someone that I did not set out to do. Can you see who it is? Can you tell who it is?
No, I don't know who it is.
Well, I don't know what theme tune that was.
Ow.
Yeah, I look like awesome. Morticia Adams today. I don't know how that happened or why it happened or whatever. But yeah, I'm kind of channeling.
We're signing today. Do you know, she was hot though. It's all good.
Can you say that Morticia Adams was hot?
I don't know.
Was that a thing? I don't know. I tread very carefully on what we're allowed to say and not allowed to say. But you thought Morticia Adams was hot?
Yeah, definitely.
Really?
Why not?
I never found, what was his name? Was it Gomez? Gomez never was.
That's fair enough though.
Yeah, to be fair.
But talking of old series.
Yeah, all right. What are you going with this?
Well, you know, we like a lot of TV and we watch a lot of TV and we do love a good old film and all that. And I'm aware of a reboot coming up.
Okay.
And I'm quite excited about it.
What is it?
Well, it's probably not your cup of tea.
Right.
Right. But it got me thinking, if you could have a show that was brought back from yesteryear, what would it be?
Well, now, no, tell me what yours is.
So mine is Highlander.
I loved Highlander.
Highlander,
it's Scottish. What's not to love?
It's amazing. I love it. And I'm so excited that they're bringing it back.
Is that the, there can be only one?
That one, yes.
Was it Christopher Lambert who was in the film?
Yes. But
I liked him.
They're rumoured to be playing it now. Is that Henry Cavalli, who was Superman?
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
So, no, I'm looking forward to that. But yeah.
He clearly loves a cape, old Henry, because I'm sure he'll be wearing capes and throws and kilts and all sorts. Oh, okay. So they're bringing that back. What would I bring back? Ah, nothing as cool as Highlander. You might not even know this, but the first thing that's come into my head is The Love Boat. I can't remember the next lines, just that. Da, 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 da. That was where... Oops.
But hang on.
It was.
Don't we know someone that does know the next line?
We do, and he's sitting in the room with us.
Didn't that used to be his party trick?
Dave? What is the next line? Come on.
Soon we'll be making another run.
Yay!
The love boat.
This is something
for everyone. That was so good. Thank you, Dave.
And you're right, I don't know that program.
I used to love The Love Boat. It was basically about a cruise ship, and it was about all the passengers and the crew and all the adventures and stuff like that.
But this is so fascinating because when we mentioned it earlier on and we were just talking about TV in general, and it was like, how did you two know that? And I'm not aware of that. We are of similar age.
Because I grew up in a different country to you.
And so did Dave.
Amazing.
But like, you know, isn't it funny? Because you grew up watching a lot of American TV.
Yeah.
But you did know the A-Team.
Loved the A-Team. Mm-hmm. Loved the A-Team. I loved Happy Days. Oh, gosh. All the other... Oh, Magnum.
Love Magnum.
This is controversial. I don't like the remake of Magnum. No, it's not proper Magnum. No. Magnum is Tom Selleck with his moustache. Very handsome moustache. The rest of him was all right as well. And the shirts and a little twinkle in the eye. And who was the English man? He had a little English man with a... It wasn't like his butler, but it was like a... Can you remember?
Higgins.
That was it. Higgins.
Yeah. And what was the other show with the car? Kit.
Knight Rider.
Oh, love Knight Rider.
So good. But we are going well off the tangent now.
I don't care.
Because I'm about
love
to start
it.
Talking about the electric car that we had. Do you remember we got that new car?
We did. It didn't last very long.
But it sounded like
Knight Rider.
It did. It was so funny. Yeah. It scared us. It was so quick, it made us laugh.
We gave it back.
It sounded like Knight Rider.
Anyway, let's bring things a little bit more up to date.
Okay.
And there is going to be, it's not quite a reboot, but it's been recommissioned.
Okay.
And it's coming back. And it is Midlife Love Island, but it's not clearly called Midlife Love Island. It's called My Mum, Your Dad.
Okay, now I didn't watch the first series, but I'm well aware of some of the headlines and everything. And it was very popular, wasn't it?
It was because, and also it was such a great premise to take people in midlife, which is obviously what we're all about and all about championing, who for whatever reason have lost in the game of love and have decided to put themselves out there and have another go.
And am I right in saying that it's their children that put them forward?
I think so. I haven't watched it either, but I think their kids have a lot to do with it. And they nominate their mum or dad, and then I think they have a say in who they date. I don't know. I'm making that up. I don't know.
Wow. Would you go on it if anything happened to us, and we got to number six, as in six divorces? We'd have to come up with another. Four.
I do get that number wrong every time. Would I go on it? No. No, I was thinking, you know, not even if they
did. There were quite a few no's there. Is that a definite no?
Yeah, because this is how my train of thought went. Because I thought I'd say, not even if they did a celeb version. And then I thought, oh, you're a bit up yourself, aren't you? Thinking you're a celebrity. I haven't worked in telly for a few years now.
Weren't you that lady that you should work on the telly?
Exactly. And I thought, oh, no, I probably wouldn't even be picked for the celeb version. But no.
Just no.
Just no.
Okay.
Just no. Why would you?
Would I? Do you know what? If something happened to me and you, I'm all in.
Eh?
All the face. Nothing's happening though.
Yeah.
I'm not going on. But yeah, do you know what? I just think knowing what I know now and all that, I probably would. Why not? It'd be a bit fun. I think it'd be a bit fun. I mean, I haven't watched the show.
Okay.
But why not?
You'd be good in it, actually. You know, you're good fun. You're a great dancer and you look really hot in a bathing costume. So you'd be okay.
I'd take my mankini. I'd be alone, wouldn't I?
You'd
yeah,
be
okay,
so
fine.
Alone.
Shall we move on?
You'd be so alone. You'd be so alone. So anyone who's been listening to the podcast regularly, which I hope you have, will know I like to come up with a little theme for every episode, and it's something that I give a little bit of thought to. What's the theme of today, and you know, how can we work our topics sort of around it? And I thought that a really nice theme for today would be, it's all about balance. It's all about balance, because that's what we try to do in life, isn't it? Have a good balance of things.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and then in midlife sometimes the balance could kind of go all to shit. I don't think that's a technical term, but you know what I mean.
No, I think that is a technical term. You know, it's funny though, we do chase balance.
Yeah.
And like, what actually is it? And the reality is, I think it's the wrong word, because when things are balanced, they're equal. And if it comes to, like, what do they say, life work balance or work life balance,
yeah,
you know, you can't actually get that. There's a harmony between the two. But an actual balance is something, it's a bit of a myth. I think it's a misleading word, quite honestly. Because if you enjoy your work or you're happening to come into a bit of a busy spell and you have to work more, then your home life, using that word, is going to be out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, if you're taking time off and you're on holiday, then your work life is out of balance.
See, I don't see it like that at all.
But that's the whole point, though, because if it's out of balance, but you're on holiday, would you moan that your life's out of balance?
No, I don't mean about the holiday thing. I mean, so when I picture balance, maybe it's because I'm a Libra and we're the scales.
What the hell?
The scales.
Right, okay. I wonder where you're going with that.
That's our sign, is scales. So maybe that's why, for me, balance, I see something very different. So for me, I don't see scales. I see a seesaw, you know, like a seesaw when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you ever did this when you were little, but... you know, obviously, the way to use a seesaw properly, kids, is obviously one sits on one end and one sits on the other. But what was lots of fun was to stand in the middle and try and see if you could stand on the seesaw and make it kind of balance. Now, to me, that's how I see life, is you're standing on the like seesaw of life, and it always goes kind of down a bit, up a bit, down a bit, up a bit, and it wobbles. And sometimes it goes, whoa, really far one way and really far another way. But the whole time you're doing that, as long as you're not falling off, you're in balance. It doesn't matter if one side is down and one side is up. I never think that life is going to have to be like flatline flat. You are always going to have one bit that is dipping and one bit that is higher. But yeah, as long as you're not falling off, landed on your head, you're in balance. So for me, sometimes, yeah, work is really busy and don't have as much time for home life or whatever, whatever. As long as I've not... I like to call it face planted. It's all good. I'm in balance. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think we definitely grew up in different estates though, because like we weren't too like bothered about the bit in the middle. We would try and put someone small on the back, and like the two heaviest guys would like jump on it and try and make them fling off. So that's probably why I have a very different
We would not have been friends when we were younger. We would not have been friends.
You'd still be on a roundabout. I'd be spinning it around really fast.
And I'd be screaming, get me off! Now, one of the reasons that I wanted to talk about balance is because I saw this article about Idris Elba.
Mm-hmm.
So Idris Elba, as we all know, incredible actor, Hollywood star. But he did this interview where he was talking about the fact that he's actually gone into therapy to try and work on his work-life balance because he enjoys working so much. He actually finds so much pleasure in work, and that his wife pointed out to him that maybe he's got his sort of work-life balance a bit wrong. You're looking at me funny. Did I get that wrong?
No. I'm listening, because actually, isn't that fascinating? And also, I was just thinking, just watched a really good program with him in.
Okay. Was that the one where you sat in the living room and watched it while I was watching something else?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hijack.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Such a good series. If you haven't seen it, go and watch it. He is brilliant in it. But sorry, back to what you were saying.
You really liked that show, didn't you?
Oh, my
you?
God. It was just, when I saw it come up.
Well, I heard him being interviewed on a podcast about it, and he said it sounded really good. And I mentioned it to you, and then you ended up going off and watching it. But Amy wanted me to watch that other thing with her.
Yeah, that's
That strange true crime thing. I found it a bit scary and unsettling. But anyway, I'd promised her that I'd watched it.
Well, to be honest, I think there's 5 or 6 episodes or something like that. I went, 5 or 6 episodes about a plane that gets hijacked. What the hell is the storyline in that? Oh my God, I was so wrong. It's brilliant.
So Idris is clearly very good at his job.
Yeah, I can carry on working, Idris. You're doing great.
He's great. Really interesting guy, actually. I can't remember which podcast it was I heard him on, but he was really good. Might have been Stephen Bartlett.
Okay, he's gone into therapy to try and sort out the work. But does he want to do that then?
Doesn't sound like it. Because he basically said that he's been having therapy to shift his attitude to work because he finds it more enjoyable than spending more time with his family. And I must admit, the reason why that flagged up to me was because I thought, why is that a bad thing? Because it's so much easier to go to work. You ask any working parent. And, you know, from my perspective, obviously, I'd talk about it from a working mum perspective. I don't know a single working mum, and clearly I know I'm going to get shot down by some people for saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway, who don't come to work and go, oh, this is so much easier than being at home. Mm. Because you get to dress like a grown-up, speak to grown-ups. Nobody's squabbling and fighting. And if they are, you can just kind of leave the room. It's not up to you to sort of sort it out. No one's shouting at you. Well, actually, clearly it depends where you work, because you could have people shouting at you. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, if you do a good job, someone says, good job, rather than you do a good parenting job, and it's like tumbleweed.
And no one cares.
No one cares.
I'm just wondering now, what's that saying? If you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
Well, that's not true.
But my point is that where he truly found his passion?
Yeah.
He gets to do some super cool stuff.
He really does.
And, you know, I'm sure his wife's lovely.
Yeah.
And he also does enjoy spending time with her and that.
Sure.
But I suppose from an actor's point of view, do you feel that, I don't know, you have a limited amount of time, you've got to keep doing stuff so you're relevant?
But he also does DJing and that sort of thing, and mixing and a bit of whack, whack, whoo. That was...
I'm glad you clarified what DJing noise. Was, because I did not know what whack, DJing
whack.
Was.
Whack, whack.
Amazing. I think you found a new career after this have podcast.
I?
You could be a beatbox.
Could I?
No.
So I suppose the whole work-life balance thing, it really does come down to if you absolutely love what you do. So clearly, if you find pleasure in it, then it doesn't feel like a slog, then the balance is good. Now, I remember I interviewed Anne Boden a few years ago, and for my This Girl's on Fire thing. And I found her utterly fascinating. So Anne Boden is, she's the first ever female founder of a bank. She's an incredible woman who's just had this amazing life story of growing up in Wales from a very unassuming family, and went on to conquer the world of banking, and she formed Starling Bank. And
which is not sponsoring our podcast, but they are a great bank.
Yeah,
a
and if they want to, we're very receptive to
please
the idea.
Do. Hi, Anne.
And I remember we were talking about the whole thing of work-life balance, and she said, people have often said to me my work-life balance is wrong because I spend so much time working, but it never feels that way to me because I absolutely love what I do. So surely if I love what I do, it's irrelevant as to whether it's work or so-called play. It doesn't matter. To me, my balance is right. And I think she's bob on. I think she's right.
Well, let's be honest. We've had some really cool projects that we've done.
Yeah.
That have pretty much consumed our existence.
Mm-hmm.
And we loved it. I mean, when it went on for a while, we stopped loving it as much.
Yeah.
But I can see if you're passionate about what you're building and what you're doing, and how it's working, and also the impact it's having on people. I could totally, totally get that. I mean, you look at some of the projects that you've done, even some of the things, the shows that you filmed, that you were away for a long period of time.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean...
I was in a hotel.
But that doesn't mean it's bad,
room service.
Though,
it was amazing.
Yeah. And I think as long as it ebbs and flow, you wouldn't want to live like that permanently. But yeah, I think everyone has that. A different interpretation of balance or harmony, and also how it impacts their lives. Because we talk about it, not just with work though, do we? It's like what you eat.
Balanced diet.
A balanced diet, yeah. You know, your exercising, drink, you know. It's all about balance.
I'm really interested in what you say to the men that you coach and you work with in terms of finding balance in midlife, because when they come to you, what sort of things are normally out of balance?
Well, they are, most of them, and speaking very generally, but most of them are very focused on their goals, what they're trying to achieve, what they're trying to build in their business life, in their professional life. And I think this goes back to that comment that I said just when I was saying about our projects. When they start off and all that, they're fun, you're engrossed in it, it's amazing. But when they go on for so long, then you get the negative impact of being all in on something. And some of these guys have been building their businesses for decades, building their lives for decades, their professional lives for decades. And unfortunately, not realizing that by, you know, putting their health to one side, putting their relationships to one side, even telling themselves a story, oh yeah, I'm doing this for the children, I'm doing this for the family, without actually ever asking the children and the family if that's what they want. You know, and then they just start realizing that they are very much out of balance. But ironically, for most of that time they were doing it, they probably weren't. But it's like anything, it comes a tipping point. And if you're not quick enough with that tipping point, it slides very quickly down that scale, doesn't it? You talk about you balancing on a seesaw. It's a very precarious thing for you to do that you don't fall, especially if you're constantly moving. And I just think the thing is, you know, we always set goals or metrics. Oh, when I get this, when my children aren't in this anymore, when I don't have to pay for that anymore, I will. But the truth of it is, you don't. You just find the next thing. And it's when the guys come to me and I start coaching them, they start seeing the impact by getting things not quite in harmony.
Mm-hmm.
I'll use that word, in balance, the true cost. And they start then worrying. And again, around midlife, we don't feel as bulletproof anymore, do we?
Mm-hmm.
We don't feel that we're going to live forever. And that may be because we have our own health scare, or we witness something else in a friendship group and we start questioning. But also we start questioning, God, I don't want another 10 more years of this. What does my life look like? Wouldn't it be nice if? And I just think we start asking ourselves different questions.
So do you think then that really the definition of a midlife crisis is a life that is starting to feel out of balance because something that you have done for so long that you feel has served you? And maybe as what you said, maybe from a male perspective, many men are hiding behind, but I'm doing this for the family. I'm doing it for everyone else. And when they get to a point where they realize that they're not enjoying it anymore, it's who am I if I am not? Who am I if I decide to change career? Because maybe my wife and kids have got used to the standard of living that maybe I provide for them. But also, it's quite a fearful thing to hold your hand up and say that I don't want to do this anymore. I'm not feeling good about this anymore. And really, a crisis is when something reaches a boiling point or a point of imbalance, which is so severe that it cannot right itself, or it's not meant to right itself. Because in righting yourself, you think of going back to as it was. It's not meant to go back to as it was. It's meant to change.
You know, I think what I've witnessed, and also speaking from personal experience, is when you realize that what you've been doing for X amount of time, the majority of your adult life, is either no longer working for you anymore, or what you want to do, the crisis isn't necessary. You know, I know we term it midlife, but that's purely on timing. I think it's more an identity crisis. And you just said it. If I am not that thing anymore, who am I? And that is where things really start spiraling, because then you start clutching at straws. And I know that when I got to that, I went through about two or three different types of businesses, because I thought, oh, I'll try that, then I'll do that, I'll do that, I'll be that, I'll be this guy. You know, I changed my style a little bit. There were things that I changed, because actually what I didn't do, I didn't sit with myself long enough to ask myself the question, okay, and it's not like that doesn't work. It's just stopped working for me, or it stopped giving me the thing that I wanted. It's not broken.
When you say style, what do you mean?
Oh, in how I dressed.
So you don't mean style of doing things, as in methods of doing things?
Yeah, there were elements of that as well. There were elements, you know, if you look at your identity, and all of a sudden then you're uncertain with who you are, where your place is in society, in everything that you have known,
mm-hmm.
is no longer how you thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore you start looking for answers, but almost it becomes a very desperate thing. You've had let's just say, so for me, I was 39 years old. So I had quite a few years of getting to that point. Before realizing,
you're 39 years of getting to that point, to be precise.
Well, not quite, because I'd like to think my childhood was actually quite chilled and I wasn't that fussed. But in my adult life, possibly sure. So. Right? But then all of a sudden, when we make that decision, it may have been a year or two or 3 years in the coming to get to that decision. But when you do, and this is what I'm on about with the tipping point, mm-hmm. it almost seems to happen really quickly. And then that speed now, I don't have that luxury of taking 2-3 years to make my next decision because I'm now feeling desperate. Like you say, I'm now feeling my life is in a crisis. If I don't know who I'm going to be or what I'm going to do next, I've got commitments. I need to make sure I've got money coming in. I've got family. I've got to make sure I'm able to provide for them. All these things, all these other little pressures make you clutch at straws super quickly. And I think that's the issue around waiting too late, that tipping point. Then it feels like you're just,
you're in free fall.
Well, again, that seesaw's tipped. You got nothing to grip onto and you're sliding down.
I think as well, have you ever heard of I can't remember who the quote is attributed to, but really it sums up very, very well everything that you've just said, which is our perception of ourselves all the way through our life, but particularly in midlife. Because I think post-midlife, you can call it reset, refresh, crisis, whatever. We don't care quite as much. But the quote is, I am not who I think I am. I am not who you think I am. I am who I think you think I am. Because so much of what we do is based on the mirror that we think, how we think other people are perceiving us. Mm. And, going back to when I quit my job, I'd been known as this thing for over 2 decades. And not only was it a job, it's hard enough to leave any job you've done for over 2 decades, but particularly a job in the public eye. One of the things that I did have to sit down with myself and reason it out is, who am I if I am not? Because it's different if you've had a so-called normal job. People don't come up to you in the street and go, didn't you used to be that bank manager? Or didn't you used to whatever? But I will always be, didn't you used to be that person who? Well, I'm still the person. I just don't do the job anymore. So I think anyone in midlife who's going through any kind of change, whether it's didn't you used to live in a big fancy house and now you live in a smaller house, didn't you used to be married to so-and-so, didn't you used to be really fit, look at you now, you're fatty, whatever, people have, and really, people really do stop and say weird things in the street. There's a lot to wrestle with. Actually, once you can let all of that go, it's such relief, but that only comes after the crisis. It comes after the imbalance.
Well, it doesn't have to reach crisis for you to get that. But the thing is, that goes back to your identity, and what you just said with that quote is, most of us pin our identity on how other people see us. When we get comfortable in our own selves and actually start asking ourselves better questions and start loving ourselves more and focusing on what we want, who do we want to be, therefore we sit in that comfort that actually we then realize that no one else gives half as much shit as we actually think they do anyway. But more importantly, it's irrelevant because you're actually really comfortable with who you are. And I remember when you left for a long period and it ebbed and flowed, you really struggled with your identity, because whilst it was your choice, whilst you made decisions, whilst you were going on to do things and still go on and do amazing things, there have been moments that you don't quite know who you are. So but the beauty of that, going back to what I was saying earlier, is you've had this space to sit with yourself. You're not sliding down that tipping point. That was a decision that you made. You're still at the top of the seesaw. Balancing, right? And while sometimes it may feel that you're sliding a bit, it's in your control to put it the other way. There is no crisis.
No, that's life. It's just natural tipping.
And
yeah.
it was a decision that you made, but that still doesn't stop you struggling now and then with who you are and that. And what I will say is just you saying about where people say to you, excuse me, are you that lady off the telly? I mean, that literally happened yesterday. And we were just walking to where we go to work in a co-working space. And there was this bloke going, oi!
Yes, I remember.
Didn't you used to be that lady off the telly? And then Andrew's like, yes, that was me. Yeah. Angela! No.
No, and I said, no, it's Andrea.
Andrea.
And this schoolboy went, oh.
He don't even know your name.
It was so embarrassing. I just had to go, uh-huh, right, bye, everyone. And there you have it. And you have to have a balanced outlook in life. Otherwise, you'd be crushed by things like that. That was fun today. That was nice just to talk about finding balance. I enjoyed that. Yeah. It's good.
And I think it's something that we, as a topic, because we said, you know, everyone looks at it and so many layers of their life, you know, I think it's something that we'll probably come back into.
I think so. Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed that. Join us next time when we attempt to master midlife.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.